Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 375. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's going good. Glad to be back. We're recording on a Monday morning, so a little bit different recording time. But we're still here. We'll get the episode dropped on the Monday still, so you'll still have it. And I'm good to talk some ball.
Yeah, it's currently 9:30 a.m. on the East Coast. You figured, you know, I got the day off from work and had some things going on last night. You know, guess Chris got sick kids, so figured we move it till the morning and here have our maybe our first ever Monday morning pod. I don't know. Maybe we've done it before on Monday
maybe.
Morning. Hard to remember. We probably have at some point, but
375 episodes. Who knows?
Right. I'm sure we have it at some point, but this week we're going to be doing. We're talking about our guys for 2025. We did this episode last year, and I think it was received well. Just guys we're trying to get a lot of shares of, whether it be drafting and redraft, maybe targeting them in dynasty leagues, just guys that we want to get more shares of than we currently have at the moment. So we'll go position by position, each give one player at every infield spot, give a couple each in the outfield. So I think we got like 14 or so players listed today to talk about. But before we get into those players, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I am at Eric Cross, MLB, and the show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. It's where all of our dynasty and prospect rankings are found. And make sure you check out all the great content available with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Rotoballer's VIP draft kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also comes with plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, let's hop right into it, starting off with the catchers. Chris, who's your guy?
Yeah, so I went with Francisco Alvarez, and yeah, I think often we forget how young Alvarez really is. Yeah, he came up in the league pretty early and young, debuted as actually a 20-year-old in 2022. He'll be 23 this season, just turned 23 in the offseason. And yeah, he had a down year from a surface number perspective last year. It was just 342 plate appearances, hit 11 home runs, but he hit .237 with a .307 OBP. You know, the contact skills look good. The chase rate was a little higher than you'd like to see. And so I get there's some concerns about him, but ultimately, like, I believe that Alvarez is going to be in for a big year this year. You know, it's important to remember that he tore his UCL in his thumb and he missed 2 months of the year. Took him a while to get going, but in September, he mashed. I mean, slashed .254, .357, .542 with 5 home runs in September, had a 93-mile-an-hour average EV and an 11% barrel rate, while also having a near 87% in-zone contact rate. So considering he just turned 23, Francisco Alvarez might be someone who is just on the cusp of, you know, taking off. And I really believe that that could be the case this year. The cost is a bit down. It's more down in redraft than dynasty. But I really like Francisco Alvarez this year to take that step forward. So he's my pick at catcher.
Yeah, you know, when his value is kind of like peak value, or the hype was really peak a few years ago, like I was kind of fading a little bit at that price then. But I think the price has come down both in, you know, like a redraft ADP and for dynasty perceived value that I think it's, yeah, he's, I think he's a good buy right now. I mean, there's still a lot of good things in that profile that you mentioned. So yeah, that's a great pick there. I'm going to go over to St. Louis. There's actually a lot of guys I like at the St. Louis team this year that are, I think, are pretty undervalued. I only got one listed, I could have added, you know, Alec Burleson, Brendan Donovan. You know, actually, no, I got two listed, but I could have added a couple more. But at catcher, I got Ivan Herrera, 24 years old, should be stepping into that full-time catcher, starting catcher gig there in St. Louis. Yeah, they got Pedro Páez there as well, but I think he's going to be more of their backup. So you got Wilson Contreras now being more of just a first base DH only. I don't think he's even going to catch at all this year from the sounds of it. So that gives a lot of opportunity to Herrera, who was pretty good last year. Hit 301, 372, 428, 5 home runs, 5 steals, and 259 plate appearances. So a guy that has shown a pretty good approach to the plate last year, 20.5% strikeout rate, 9.7% walk rate. The contact skills are solid. He's around 87% in zone, 78-79% overall. Swing strike rate below 10% as well. You know, he hits the ball hard too. You know, average EV 89.3, 9% barrel, 42% hard hit rate. Does a lot of things well. Not going to be a stud, not going to be a top five guy, but like an ADP for 2025, he's going off the board as the 17th catcher, which I think is great value. And I think he has the skills to develop into, you know, like a, you know, again, maybe not a top 10 catcher for fantasy, but could he get like in that back end C1 range where he's like now the 12th, 13th catcher? In terms of value, yeah, I think he could jump up into that range with, you know, kind of like where like Tyler Stevenson is, maybe like where Austin Wells is, Sean Murphy, something like that. I definitely think that potential is there with Herrera, especially if he's going to get, you know, maybe double the amount of plate appearances that he got last year. If he can get up in that 500 plate appearance range, you know, maybe hit you 280 with 15 home runs or something like that, add in a handful of steals, it's going to be a good amount of value. And I think the St. Louis lineup could be sneaky, decent. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be great, but I think there's, again, a lot of decent, still a lot of decent hitters in the St. Louis lineup, and Herrera will probably hit near the bottom, but maybe you won't have a ton of runs in RBI, but I think there's a good value here with Ivan Herrera. So he is my guy at catcher for this year. Let's go over to first base. Chris, what you got?
I took Jonathan Aranda at first base of the Twins. Liked Aranda a lot coming into the year, or after the end of last season at least, and then there's a thing now where they're going to be playing in a minor league park, spring training park, and it's Steinbrenner's essentially the dimensions of Yankee Stadium, which plays very favorably for left-handed bats. Aranda ended the year very strong. He had, in September, a 273, 339, 582 slash with 5 home runs in his final 62 plate appearances. And while it's a small sample, Aranda has a very healthy record of pulling fly balls. And he had an average EV of 99.6 miles an hour last year on those pulled fly balls. It's a profile that I really think could take off this year. You know, there's some questionable things in the profile still, but Aranda actually makes pretty respectable contact when you look at it. In the majors last year especially, he ran really good contact numbers. The approach is fine. I think he's going to at least get the strong side platoon with Tampa, and there's going to be opportunity for plenty of plate appearances here. You know, projections kind of have him all over the board. You know, is he going to play some first? Is he going to DH? Like, I think it's good for his bat to be in that lineup, regardless of position, even if it's at DH. So, yeah, I think Aranda could get 450, 500 plate appearances and could absolutely mash. I could see if he gets 400 plate appearances, then yeah, it wouldn't be crazy to think that he could approach, you know, 18, 20 home runs. And if he bust over that 400 mark, he could certainly get more than that in that park with that power that we're looking at. So Aranda's one that I'm very closely eyeing spring training. I'm trying to get deeper in drafts. And even in Dynasty, I think he's a good target as well. So Jonathan Aranda, first baseman, DH for the Rays, but good target there.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a nice ballpark too, Steinbrenner Field. And yeah, I think a lot of hitters are going to be getting this old boost play in there this year, like Aranda as well. I'm going Tristan Casas at first base. I mean, I think this is the last year you can get him at this price tag, both in redraft and in Dynasty. I mean, in redraft, he's got off the board around like pick 120, 125 or so. 13th first baseman off the board. I mean, I am trying to get every share I can of him in that range. And I almost went with like a Spencer Steer. I know he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue right now, but I think Spencer Steer is great value in that range. Jake Berger's fine in that range too. So Vinny Pasquantino's in that range too. So if you want to wait on first base this year, you know, that's ADP like 115 to 130 range. Just got a few good options. But Cassis is my favorite of the bunch. I mean, I think people forget just how good he was in the second half of 2023. After the All-Star break, he was in the top five in both WOBA and WRC+. And the four ahead of him in both categories were two Atlanta guys, Ronald Acuna Jr. and Matt Olson, who, as we know, both went berserk in their own way that year. And then Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts were the other two. So four really good players there. And I'm not saying that Cassis is going to be up on that level again, but the power is absolutely there to be, you know, a 35-40 homer bat in Fenway. And I think he could at least get back up to like a Pete Alonso level and maybe even higher. I think there's more batting average potential with Cassis. I mean, yeah, the contact rates dipped a bit last year. He was down to around 77% zone and 69% overall contact. Swinging strike rate went up as well to near 14%, but you know, he was not healthy for most of the year, that rib injury. And when he came back from it later in the year, he was not the same guy. I mean, that was what was the terminology I heard? It was like a car crash within his body or something like that. It was that's the way the doctor told him when he broke his ribs. So that was not doesn't sound great, but he's healthy now. I mean, if he can get back to, you know, previous levels of contact where, you know, even in 2023, he was around 82% zone, 75% overall. With his power, you'll take that. Obviously, he can take a walk and keep the strikeout rate from getting too high. I mean, if he can, again, get back to that 25% K rate range where he was in 2023, I mean, maybe he's only 260 to 270. I don't think he's going to be 280 plus or anything like that, but 260 range for the average. Good OBP, like a 350 plus OBP and 35 plus home runs. Plus, you're driving in a ton of runs. That top half of the Red Sox lineup is going to be really good this year. You know, Jaron Duran leading off. Then you got Rafael Devers, and then you probably go Bregman 3 and Cassis 4. I'm expecting them to go to the, you know, left right thing there. So I like that top half of the lineup a lot. I think he's got a lot of RBI opportunities. Maybe gets over 100 RBI this year as well. So, yeah, I think this is the last time, again, that you can get Cassis for, you know, anything less than the top 100 price tag in ADP or a top 100 price tag in Dynasty via trade. So Tristan Cassis is my guy at second base. Let's slide over to – or at first base, excuse me. We'll slide over to second base now. And Chris, going with a 2024 rookie who didn't perform too well.
Yeah, I actually struggled with second base a little bit. I didn't know or feel great about a lot of them. So I'm going to take my chances on Jackson Holliday, having a nice bounce back. I mean, the kid just turned 21 years old. Like, to write him off so soon would be a mistake, in my opinion. And I did like a 15-minute video breakdown of Holliday, his profile, what he needed to improve. And I came away thinking that now he's a power over hit kind of guy.
Right.
The contact skills have been questionable. And Holliday really struggles against good velo. I'm curious if that improves this year. He added weight this offseason. He looks much more bulky and strong. And the power was already good. I mean, his average EV on pulled fly balls was already near 100 miles an hour. And really solid exit velocities on line drives and fly balls. It's just the whiff issue and the contact issue. Can he clean that up? I think and hope so, because this was someone that was billed as a high hit tool guy. I've always said I was lower on the hit tool than most. A lot had, you know, 70 grades on the hit. The contact numbers never reflected that in the minors. I was never there. The approach, probably a 70. So you make those differentials, and yeah, I'm there with a 70 approach for sure. It's a very good approach. He also has worked to improve his speed, trying to be able to steal more bases. Holliday could become interesting, you know. I'm not sure the upside's what people once thought it was, but I do think Holliday could be a 20-homer bat, steals you 10 bags, and puts up solid OBPs. So I believe that Holiday could take a step forward. Is he going to fully break out this year? I don't know. I'm not willing to sit here and tell you that because we got to see some improvements, especially against Velo, especially on contact in the zone. Like, those things you want to see improved. But I do think that among the second basemen that Holiday stands a chance to return pretty good value. I think his dynasty value is down some. You could probably trade for him, redraft. The cost is pretty cheap. So Jackson Holiday is a good target, in my opinion, just to see, you know, where it goes and how this all transpires. Even if it takes a couple more years, like, I think now is probably a good time to buy into Holiday.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree there. I mean, I think, you know, we live in this world of, like, what have you done for me lately? And he didn't do a lot for people lately, lately being last year. But if people get realized, he's barely 20. He just turned 21 in December. So he's 21 years and 2 months and 13 days, according to the Fangraphs. So let's just scroll down, like, my top prospect list here. He is younger, not younger than Roman Anthony, but he's younger than Christian Campbell, younger than Jason Dominguez, Dylan Cruz, Travis Bezzana, Matt Shaw, Chase DeLauder, Kobe Mayo by like 2 years. He's younger than Emmanuel Rodriguez, Andrew Painter, Jordan Lawler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, J.J. Weatherhole, he's younger than, like, I think, I'd say at least half of my top 25, yes. You know, maybe a little over half, probably 60% of my top 25. Where, you know, Sydney, I was saying with, you know, Jordan Walker in the article I just wrote, like, Jordan Walker's still only 22 years old. Like, you got to remember these guys are still very young. But it is interesting how, you know, the profile for Holiday has kind of shifted a bit. I mean, you mentioned the contact skills. They were good in the minor leagues, not great. But, yeah, he's kind of shown more power and speed than I thought he would. I mean, he was like 90th percentile sprint speed or something like that last year, was hitting the ball hard. So, yes, definitely still a lot to like here with Holiday for sure. He should get that crack at second base gig in Baltimore, see how he does. Second base, I am going with Matt McClain, who should be their starting second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds this year. Obviously, you know, when he was up in 2023, split time, but now they got some guy named Ellie De La Cruz at shortstop. So don't expect that eligibility to continue, but I like Matt McClain a lot. As Chris mentioned, the second base position, not the greatest right now. I mean, once you get outside the top options, especially like in a redraft format, I mean, Dynasty, you got some good prospects coming up like Campbell and Bezzana, et cetera. But for redraft purposes, and just in general, this position is down a bit, but I like Matt McClain a good bit. I mean, he had a really good rookie year in 2023. I think he came up in like early June, if I recall correctly, and which is really good for that, that final two-thirds of the year. 290, 357, 507, 65 runs, 16 home runs, 50 RBI, and 14 steals, and 403 plate appearances. I mean, the profile doesn't wow you, but it's above average power. I mean, he had a barrel rate around 11% in that year, 42% hard hit rate, average EV at 89.5 miles an hour. It's above average speed as well, maybe even plus speed. So definitely has that power speed blend going for him. You know, in a neutral park, maybe, you know, he's more of like a 250 hitter because he is below average contact. He was below average by about 2% in zone and about 3% overall, but doesn't chase that much. You know, kept the K rate relatively in check. So maybe if he hit in like Kauffman or something like that, and maybe the average won't be great, but, you know, given that half his games will be in, you know, Great American Ballpark, I think he gets a little bit of a boost from that. Don't think he's going to hit 290 again, but I think 270 is absolutely fair with a decent OBP, you know, 335, 340, something like that, OBP. And I think you're looking at maybe, mid-20s home runs and, you know, maybe around 20 steals, like a 25-20 year is definitely possible for Matt McClain. I think he's going to be hitting in the top part of that lineup. I think he'll score a good amount of runs. So, yeah, I think he's a pretty good value this year. I think he's going to jump up into the top 50 for both, like, redraft and dynasty next year. And I don't think he's getting, you know, he's not getting drafted there this year. And he's not getting valued there in dynasty. I mean, ADP for redraft is around pick 100. He's kind of in a late top 100 range of ADP with, like, Jordan Westberg and Marcus Semien at this position. I like Westberg a lot, too. I'm actually surprised that not one of us picked Westberg for this episode. I love Jordan Westberg. a ton. So he's definitely a great target this year and in Dynasty. But yeah, Matt McLean is my guy here at second base. I think that ADP is going to get cut in half next year. I think he's going to be a top 50 Dynasty asset as well. So if he goes 25-20, with good production elsewhere, that value is going to take a pretty good jump up this year. So like Matt McLean a lot all around. Let's go over to the hot corner here. Chris, who's your guy?
All right, yeah. I'm going with Isak Paredes, who I've always been low on, but now I'm higher on because the cost is so low. It's kind of ridiculous how low his ADP is. He landed in a perfect situation in Houston. He was in the perfect situation in Tampa. Again, this is somebody that has perfected the pulled fly ball to the foul pole. Tampa is 310 out there to the foul pole. He got traded to Chicago, which why the Cubs thought that was a good idea, I don't know. Their left field foul pole is 355, and Paredes was terrible in Chicago. So obviously part of the Kyle Tucker deal goes to Houston, and the Crawford boxes are 315 out there. We know that the Crawford boxes aid a lot of people's power, and I think it's going to aid Paredes. He doesn't have to put up elite exit velocities. He gets those ideal angles to the poolside, and it works. Contact skills are good with Paredes. What kind of average does he hit for? It's hard to say. Like, this is somebody that hasn't always run the highest BABIPs, just given the kind of batted ball distribution that he has. But I do think that we see the batting average potentially come up. I mean, he's been 257, 259 BABIPs the last 2 years, which has led to some really low batting averages, 238 last year, 250 the year before. But I think Paredes is back in business. I think he's going to hit 25-plus home runs. He was certainly pacing to do that before the trade last year. And now he's in a favorable situation in Houston. The lineup's still good. Like, I know the lineup's not as great as it once was, but that's still a good lineup in Houston. I mean, you still got Altuve, you've got Christian Walker, you've got Paredes, Jeremy Pena's fine, like, Yainer Diaz. Still a good lineup. So I think he's going to get plenty of run and RBI opportunities. I just think that the price tag on him right now is very low, and I'm buying in. Like, I'm shocked that he's going as low as he is, and I think you can still get him pretty affordably in Dynasty. Also important to remember, he's still 25. He'll turn 26 tomorrow, so if you're listening to this, like, on Tuesday or past, he's not 25 anymore. I understand that, but he's still incredibly young, so might just be coming to his own. So Isak Paredes is my pick at third base.
Yeah, his profile has always been so weird. Like, if you just looked at it without any other context, it's like the contact skills are high, but the average has always been really low, and the quality of contact has been terrible, but he's always hit a lot of home runs because of the angles of his batted ball angles definitely influence the profile a ton here. So, yeah, he went from being, a decent target in Tampa Bay. Though I feel like he got overvalued at times. I remember him getting talked about, like, oh, he's on the same level as, like, Devers and Riley. No, he's not. But you definitely, home ballpark matters with him. I don't know. Like, why did the Cubs think that was a good idea? Like, did nobody, like, look at the profile when they're like, oh, hey, let's trade for him? I mean, even though he peepholes everything and our left field wall is, like, 40 feet further than Tampa Bay's. But, definitely much more exciting back in Houston for sure. I'm still not a Paredes guy. I'll probably have... no share. I think people just like him more than me, but yeah, definitely see the appeal with him going back to a good hitter's park for him. I'm going with a little bit of the old guard here with Eugenio Suarez at third base. I mean, I actually like a lot of third basemen this year. I think third base is very talented and very deep. When you look at the top, there's a lot of the, five guys, top 50 ADP. Then you got some of the younger guys, Caminero and Westberg, Vientos, I like a lot. Royce Lewis, if he can stay healthy, still could be really good. But the guy I got in the Nerf draft a few weekends ago, because I waited a little bit at third base, was Eugenio Suarez. And I got him, I feel like it was around pick 175, 180, which is where his ADP is right now. ADP since January 1st is 181. And yeah, he's not as exciting as some of those other names I just rifled off. But the dude just hits for power. Like, he is sixth in home runs and sixth in RBI in all of baseball since the start of 2018. I mean, the five ahead of him in home runs over the last, how many seasons is that? Seven seasons. It's Judge, Schwarber, Olsen, Alonso, and Ohtani. An RBI, I'm assuming it's the same. An RBI, it's Olsen, Joe Ram, Freeman, Machado, and Nolan Arenado. Oh, wow. Okay. That was not a name I thought. But yeah, he has more RBI in the last seven seasons, whatever it is, than he's right ahead of Rafael Devers. He's ahead of Aaron Judge. He's ahead of Juan Soto, Otani, Harper, Lindor, etc. So he's just been very consistent in terms of the power output. You know, starting in 2018, for home runs, he was 34 and 104, 49 and 103. Had 15 home runs in the shortened seasons. That was on pace for, you know, somewhere in the mid-30s there. And then 31 home runs, 31, 22 in 2023, which is like the only year where he wasn't, you know, above average in terms of home runs. And then back up to 30 with 101 RBI last year. So you basically pencil him in for like 30 and, you know, 90 plus. He's been at least 87 RBI in five of the last six full seasons. So just a good power bat that doesn't get, you know, as much, you know, buzz as he probably should. I mean, he's had a barrel rate above 11% each of the last 6 years. Hard hit rate's been in the low 40s. You know, kept the K rate in check. Actually dropped the strikeout rate last year, which was good to see. But even, you know, with him sitting around 30%, he's still been able to make that work. Really struggles against breaking balls, but mashes fastballs and hit well against off speed last year as well. So yeah, if you don't want to, you know, go for one of the buzzy names, you know, in the top 100 range or go super high ADP on a third baseman, getting 30 and 100 at, you know, pick 175 or so, I think is great value. And if you're a contending dynasty team right now, I don't think it'll take, you know, it won't be cheap, but I don't think it'll take a lot to get a Suarez either. So I think he's a good, and maybe you're waiting for a, you know, third base prospect to come up in a year or two, and you want more of like a couple-year stopgap. I think Suarez is a great win-now target in dynasty leagues that won't cost a whole lot to acquire. So love Suarez a lot. I think he's undervalued this year. Now over to shortstop.
Oh, man, shortstop's tough, surprisingly. Yeah, yeah, it seems always like a deep position, but it bottoms out. I'm going with Bo Bichette. I've written about Bo several times this offseason being a bounce back. The reports are now that he's healthy for the first time in a while. And so I think that's worth noting that a healthy Bo, we know, can be really good. I mean, if you look on the surface, there's not a lot of reason to be excited about Bo, to believe in a bounce back with Bo. I also think that he could be part of a trade still before the season. He's straight up said they've had no extension talks with him at all. He's free agent after this year. I can tell you they want to trade him. I think Bo wants a trade too. A fresh start might be good for everybody. But considering he's healthy, he's full go, I think we certainly see better days ahead. It was an interesting decline for Bo kind of the last few years. You look at the home run totals, 2021's really kind of when he took off, 29, down to 24, down to 20, even though we saw 100 less plate appearances. And then down to 4 last year in his 336 plate appearances. Obviously had injuries as well. He also stopped running. The hit tool had been good until last year, and the hit tool was still good last year, put a caveat by that, because you look at batting average, it doesn't paint a good picture. But the previous, you know, you look at his entire career leading up to 2024, and Bo was the 300 career hitter. He hit 225 last year. Actually, his contact rates were better last year than ever. His end zone contact rate was up. The overall contact rate, 81%, pretty much in line or slightly above his career average. We did see the EVs kind of take a tick back. And I think that's a lot of injury related. He had a 5% home run to fly ball rate. That's absurd. Like, that's not something that's a hitter's fault normally. Like, injury could play a part in that, but that normalizes with time. I think Bo's in for a big bounce back if he's healthy. He's worked on cutting down the chase. He does chase too much. But I think in a contract year, when he's healthy, he's got something to prove, I think he's in for a big bounce back. Considering everything still looks pretty good under the hood as far as contact skills go, yes, the EVs were down, but I think I would chalk that to be an injury related the last 2 years because he has been hurt. That's pretty open. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in on Bo. I think he's a good target right now. Yeah, how much does he steal? I think that's a question. Does he give you a lot of stolen bases? Probably not, but is 8 to 10 crazy? No, and I think he can certainly get back over that 20 home run threshold with a good batting average. So, yeah, I think I'm in on Bo for redraft and in Dynasty.
Yeah, the perceived value on Bo has taken a massive hit. Like, I wrote about him in my Bounce Back Infielders article for Rotoballer last week. And, you know, when I was tweeting about my positional top 12 Dynasty rankings, I think I had him as my number 12 shortstop for Dynasty. And I got a lot of slack. People were like, oh, why, Bo? What are you talking about? Why is Bo that high? I'm like, I think people forgot that. You know, this guy was like an early round asset before last year. And yeah, maybe he won't get back to being early round guy, but there's definitely a lot of bounce back appeal here. Like you mentioned, like, the metrics were still pretty good under the hood. So yeah, don't think Bo was done being a good player. I mean, that's great. What is Bo, 26? Probably somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's still young. I don't know what Toronto's doing. It's like, they don't want to keep their younger guys, like they're guys that they've, you know, homegrown, but they go out and get like Santander. I don't know what Toronto's trying to do up there with that offense, but we'll see where Bo winds up. Again, we said it many times. I still think perfect partner would be your Atlanta Braves. You guys obviously need a shortstop. So I think that would be a fun fit, but we'll see. I'm going with Mason Winn. I mean, again, outside of the elite options, it kind of gets weird in like the ADP 100, the 200 range, but I think Mason Winn is a pretty solid target. He's already stated he wants to run more. We'll see if they let him run more. He had 11 steals last year in 637 plate appearances. I think St. Louis was like 23rd, 24th in overall stolen base, you know, attempts last year. So not a team that has been known to run a lot recently, but hopefully they do give him the green light a bit more, because, you know, Mason Winn's a plus runner. Obviously, he's a really good athlete, moves very well at shortstop, one of the best defensive shortstops in the game today, and had an 87th percentile sprint speed last year. So definitely has the upside to go 25, 30 steals if they let him. So hopefully he does. That'd be a nice little boost in his value. I mean, I don't think you'll see him really hit for, you know, more home runs. I think 15 is a fair range for him. The quality of contact is below average. I don't really see 20 home runs anytime soon. But even if he stays in that 15 home run range, if he gets a nice little, maybe if he doubles the steal, gets at least over 20. So you look at maybe like a 15 home run, 22, 23 steal guy with a decent average, that's still pretty valuable. Maybe not, you know, an elite, maybe not a top 10 shortstop, but the contact skills are very good with Mason Winn. He was 90.5% in zone and 83% overall. Swing strike rate below 8%. So does a lot of things well there. Doesn't like walk a ton, so OBP won't be like super high. But if you can get like a 275, 280 year out of Winn with 15 home runs and 20 plus steals, that's pretty solid, and that might be pushing top 100 overall value there as well. So Mason Winn, I like a decent bit this year. I think he's undervalued. Only 22 years old still. Brings a lot of good stuff to the table. Just don't expect a ton of power out of him. And I think you'll be happy with the results. So yeah, Mason Winn is my shortstop. We'll give two outfielders each here to close out the show. Chris, who you got?
All right. Yeah, so outfield's fun. Got a lot of guys to like. First one I'm taking is Riley Green, the Tigers. I think that he is someone that could really take off. I mean, you look last year and there was a ton of progress with this game. He's had 3-year improvements on barrel rate, launch angles, ground ball rate, like all those things have improved. And he's pretty much said, like, he was very angry about the amount of ground balls he hits, put a big emphasis on it, and it paid off. Like, look at the rolling ground ball rate. And all right, yeah, I mean, there's great improvements. With Riley Green, 56% in 2022, 49% in 2023, and 43.5% in 2024. So that's obviously worth noting. The barrel rate increases have been notable. He hits the ball incredibly hard. I know people say Comerica, he's not going to be able to hit. Okay, well, he has. He's hit home runs in Comerica. It hasn't affected him yet. And as a 23-year-old, he hit 24 homers in 584 plate appearances. Contact skills are good. They're about average. The approach has improved, lowered his chase rate. Riley Green could be heading for like stardom. He doesn't steal enough bases to be like a fantasy star or anything of that nature, but he already hits the ball. It's easy 30 home run pop. He's put a pretty big emphasis on his diet this off season, and he said exercising, which is fascinating to see. So he hopes to see more playing time as a result of his better health. Apparently ate a lot of junk food, a lot of Chick-fil-A, he said. And so he's really focused on his diet and being better in that case. So I think Riley Green just turned 24. I think he could be in for a really big year. He's like outside the top 100 ADP for redraft, which is funny to me. Like, I think given the skills, like, he should be much higher, but I'll gladly take him there. I'm trading for him in Dynasty as well, wherever I can.
I mean, who doesn't like Chick-fil-A? Let's be real here. Chick-fil-A is great. But yeah, Riley Green's always been the guy that I feel like he's always been good. Just felt like he could always do a little bit more, you know, like, so maybe he gets to that level this year, top 50 guy or something like that. I'm going with Seiya Suzuki. I like a lot of Cubs this year as well. I think there's a lot of good sneaky Cubs guys, and Chris will talk about another one here in a second. But Suzuki, I think, is a really good outfield too. I mean, you don't really want him as your outfield one, unless you really want to wait at this position and tackle pitching in the field or something like that. Because outfield is pretty deep, so that is not a terrible strategy this year. But Suzuki is a guy I like a lot in that back end top 100 ADP range, and I think he's a great target in Dynasty too. If you're contending, I think he's a good target. I don't think he's at cost like a super high price tag. I mean, it'll be a decent price tag because he's a good player, but you know, I think he gets undervalued a little bit here. Needs to stay on the field a little bit more. I mean, he hasn't cracked 600 plate appearances yet, though he's been around 585 the last 2 years, but always seems to miss a little bit of time. But I think we could be looking at like a 25-15 type of year. I mean, quality contact is very good with Suzuki, 11.5% barrel rate, 91.7 average EV, and a max of 115.5, hard hit rate 49%, walks at a solid clip above 10% walk rate each of the last 2 years as well. You know, he's above average for both zone and overall contact. You know, chase rate is low, 20.5% chase rate, does a lot of things well. And he's a decent runner too. He's 76th percentile sprint speed. So just a lot of good all around this profile. 30 years old. You know, I think you could see the best year yet from Suzuki. I mean, he's had back-to-back years hitting at least 280 with 20 home runs and an OBP above 350. I think you could see him, you know, get up 25 home runs, 15 steals, and 80 to 90 runs scored. Just be a really good guy that can contribute solidly across the board and give you some good value overall. So Suzuki, you know, ADP this year is right here, 80, around pick 90. On average, he's going right back-to-back. It's actually a pretty interesting range. He's right behind Luis Robert and Brenton Doyle, right in front of Brian Reynolds and Cody Bellinger. I think I like him the most out of all those guys. Robert, I don't know. We'll see. He obviously has the upside more than the other four, but downside is massive with him too. So Suzuki, one of my favorite targets in that range, redraft, great dynasty target as well. So like Suzuki a lot. I think he's very undervalued. And speaking of that other Cubs guy, Chris.
Yeah, Ian Happ.
Love Ian Happ. Yep.
He just doesn't get the respect he deserves. He's consistently good. I mean, he's excellent in the field. He has three straight gold gloves, so that obviously is, you know, he's going to stay in the field. He's going to hit leadoff for them this year, is what they're saying. He's had two straight seasons with 20-plus homers, including 25 last year, 89 runs, 86 RBI, and 13 stolen bases. And he had 14 stolen bases the year before. He just produces. It's interesting. Like, the batting averages aren't all that great, but the contact skills are fine. Like, you know, he's going to, I think if it's 1 year, he's going to get back up to that 270 range that he hit in 2022. Maybe this is the year, maybe not. But looking at the profile, I find it kind of odd that he hit 248 and 243 the last 2 years. The approach is good. He plays exceptionally well in an OBP league. So Ian Happ is just incredibly undervalued, in my opinion, and there's just a lot to like in that profile. He hits the ball hard. He hits the ball at ideal angles often. I don't know. I'm surprised that he consistently stays a bit undervalued, and I think there's a lot of value to be had. He's going around pick 140 in redraft on the NFBC. In Dynasty, like, he just turned 30, so, like, he's still got several good years ahead of him, in my opinion. I think Happ is probably somebody that you can get pretty good value on. It's really stable, and it's kind of an anchor in your outfield that's going to provide across all five categories, even if it's not elite across all five categories.
Yeah, Ian Happ is super underrated. I mean, the guy just produces year in, year out, gives you top 150 valued, even top 100 value. This doesn't get as much love as he should. So, yeah, love Ian Happ as well. Similar type of guy that, you know, not flashy, but just really solid and undervalued. So this is my last guy to close out the show here. Brandon Nimmo of the New York Mets. I think, you know, right in that same range as Suarez, he's going around pick 185 on average as the 44th outfielder off the board. I think that is one of the biggest steals of, you know, the draft season in 2025. Nimmo is a guy, I mean, he last 3 years, Roy won, he's, you know, come into his own and become a very good player. So each of the last 3 years, he has at least 88 runs scored. Each of the last 2 years, over 20 home runs. He had a career-high 90 RBI last year. He's always walked at a good clip. He's had at least 70 walks each of the last 3 years, and even stole 15 bags last year after being more in the 3 to 5 range in the years before that. He's a decent runner. I think he's at least an average runner, so I think you can see him stick as a 10-plus steal guy, at least in the next couple of years. But the thing with Nimmo, his average went from being 274 in both 2022 and 2023 down to 224 last year, but you can kind of, you know, match that up with a drop in BABIP. BABIP was 317 and 324 in those previous 2 years, and then last year dropped to 267. I mean, he had never been below a 293 OBP in his career, and that was way back in 2019. So you think that's going to, you know, bounce back, put him back up into that, you know, 270 to 290 range where he'd been the previous four seasons, where he was between 274 and 292 with an OBP of at least 360. So I think you see the average and OBP bounce back because, you know, the contact skills and the approach are still there. They didn't, like, fall off. He was 88% in zone, 79% overall contact. Swing and strike rate below 10%. You know, the walk rate is still very good, 11.6%. Keeps the K rate in check. And he's an above-average power guy as well. Each of the last 2 years, above a 9% barrel rate. EV right around 92 miles an hour on average. And hard hit rate, you know, in that 47 to 48% range the last 2 years. Again, the last 2-3 years, he's really coming to his own. And become, I think, one of the better, you know, and more undervalued outfielders in the game. I mean, that ADP of 180, that is an absolute, that's a joke. That's an absolute steal. I would love, I'm going to get every, if he's going there in my drafts, I'm getting every damn share of Brandon Nimmo this year. Like him a lot. He's probably going to continue to lead off for that New York Mets team. And just look at the, you know, guys right behind him in that lineup. It's, man, he's just got a lot of runs. Roster Richards has him hitting cleanup. I don't know. Regardless, he's hitting in the top half of that lineup, regardless if it's first or fourth or second, whatever. I mean, the top five in that lineup, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, and Vientos. So if he's hitting cleanup, he's got a lot of guys to drive in. I mean, Soto obviously gets on base with like a 9,000% clip. So you can have a lot of runs scored, a lot of RBI. In that lineup. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if he went in like 25 home runs, 100-plus runs, 100-plus RBI. Like, that's definitely a possibility this year, you know, with that nice bounce back in average and OBP that I'm predicting. So, like Nimmo a lot. I think he's maybe one of the best values of all hitters in 2025. That is going to wrap us up. Now, these are our guys on the hitting side for 2025. We'll hit on pitchers later in the week. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.